Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard someone say that life is full of uncertainties? Well, we really kind of know that, don't we? Really, we can't be certain of a lot of things. I know there are some people tell you that there are certain things that are absolute, you know. But sometimes even the things that they've said are absolute turns out to be they're not so absolute. And there are a lot of uncertainties in life. Those that are working, your job, it's an uncertainty, isn't it? Most cases, you really don't know when you go to work tomorrow if you still have that job. And some people that thought they had a job for life have now found out that they don't have one. They thought that they were set for life because of their finances. And then the stock market crashed and all of these other things that have taken place in recent months. And they found out that they were penniless. Kind of gives new thought to that old hiding your money in the mattress thing, doesn't it? I'd do that, except I don't have any to hide. So, but anyway, uncertainties. But then you've also probably heard someone say, but there are two things that are certain in life. Death and taxes. Two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. How many of you have heard that? I think just about everybody here has heard it. Well, let's get the taxes part of it out of the way, you know, because we talked here, two things, death and taxes. And we know that April 15th is coming up quite quickly, only about 3 weeks away. And so we'll take care of that part first and what Jesus had to say in Matthew 22, 17 through 21. And I'm going to read this particular verse out of the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, so tell us your opinion. Does Torah permit paying taxes to the Roman Empire or not? Yeshua, however, knowing their malicious intent, said, ye hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin you used to pay the tax. They brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose name and picture are these? The emperor's, they replied. Yeshua said to them, new. And that word translated means, well, give the emperor what belongs to the emperor and give to God what belongs to God. So, okay, the government says we owe taxes. Let's give the government their taxes and get on with the matter. Let's give to God what belongs to God. Okay, now we got the taxes part out of the way. So we move on to the other certainty. What is that? Death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Then in James 4, 14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death, according to the word of God, is a certainty. Now I know you're going to look back and you're going to say, well, there was Enoch. There was Elijah. They got translated. God can make exceptions when God wants to make exceptions. And I know we think about, well, we just mentioned earlier in this service, something was mentioned about the rapture. And yes, there will be those that will be alive that will be taken up in the rapture. But for mankind as a whole, the certainty is death. And there very well, most likely, will be those of us who are gathered here today that will be alive when that trumpet sounds, that shofar sounds, that shout from the mighty archangel takes place, and we rise to meet him in the air. But there will be those that we know and have known that will be part of that group that come forth out of the grave to meet him in the air. I guess one of the things that I've been thinking about recently, and I just happened to think about it, that few years ago, and I'm looking back probably 12, 15 years ago, it seemed like every time I turned around, I was having to go to a funeral. Family members were dying, relatives were dying. I was called to go to these funerals. In many cases, I was asked to officiate at the funerals. Cousins, aunts, uncles, so on. Friends that I had known for many years. As death claimed them, they met that appointment that the Bible says that men have to meet, that appointment with death. And then recently, as I begin to realize I'm not 39 anymore, and that I haven't been 39 for some time, I begin to find that folks I went to high school with and my friends that I ran around with in church, all of a sudden, I'm finding that many are dead. Some have just recently died. Others have disease that, unless God works a miracle in their life, things such as cancer, that they'll soon be facing that appointment. So I kind of begin to feel the impact of that. You know, look around and you feel that when your friends that are... How many of you ever read the obituaries in the paper? Am I the only one here? I have heard that as you get older, that's one of the things you do. And the reason you do it is to make sure that you're not in there. So I kind of look at it to see who I knew, you know, that passed away and so on. But every person has to meet that appointment. It's not something we can buy our way out of. We hear the stories of the people who decide that they want to take their wealth with them. And I actually, there's one kind of humorous little story about one person who wanted to take his wealth with him and wanted to take his gold. And God says finally, okay, we're going to make an exception. We'll let him bring it with him. And when he gets there and he's walking through the gates, the angels are looking at this baggage that he's carrying with him, scratching their heads and saying, why in the world is he bringing pavement? The Bible tells us that the streets are going to be paved with gold. Our wealth here is meaningless. Amen. When it comes to what God has in store for his children. What is death? Well, according to the dictionary, it's a term that is applied to the lower orders of living things as animals and plants. It denotes the extinction of vital function so that their renewal is impossible. So, for instance, a plant. What happens if you don't water a plant? It dies. And sometimes it can be in the stage of dying and you can put water in and all of a sudden you can see that plant begin to revive. You know, it's kind of interesting, and I heard this a number of years ago, and I've tried it several times. Mary would get flowers and they'd start to begin to wilt and begin to die, and I go throw an aspirin in the water and it would perk them back up. But eventually the time came that no matter how many aspirins I put in that water, they wouldn't revive. They died. With reference to human beings, the term is variously defined according to the view held of human nature and life. The answer to the question, what is death, depends upon the answer given in the first place to the question, what is man? So what is man? Well, let's talk about this a little bit. The scriptures make a deep distinction between the death of human beings and that of irrational creatures. For the latter, it is the natural end of the existence. For the former man, it is an unnatural experience to which they are reduced because of sin, which is also unnatural. Man was not created to die. We were not created to die. It was never God's intention that his creation, man, were to die. And I know we could get into a lot of other theological discussions here and probably ruffle some feathers in the process about certain things. But Adam and Eve were never meant to die. And the Bible only talks about how long they lived from the time they were expelled from the garden. So how long did they really live? I don't know. It only talks about from when they were expelled from the garden as to how long they lived. The general teaching of the scriptures is that man is not only a physical but also a spiritual being. Accordingly, death is not the end of human existence, but a change of place or conditions in which conscious existence continues. And if you have an New Unger's Bible Dictionary, you'll find these definitions there under the subject of death. Here's what God has to say. Genesis chapter 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God created man. Breathed into him that breath of life. That breath of life was God inspired. We're not just something that was an afterthought. God deliberately and purposefully created man in his own image, the word tells us, and breathed that breath of life into us that caused us to become a living soul. And I know that scientists now are trying to get to the point that they can create life. And they have done various things with cloning and this, that, and the other. But most of us are probably familiar with the old Frankenstein series of books that were written by, I can't remember, Mary something or other. Anyway, the scientist, Dr. Frankenstein, creates this creature, this monster, that he gives life to by using electricity to power him, I guess you might say. He jolts him with massive jolts of electricity. Man may try to create these things, but by the same token, man begins to fool with God's nature and what God has created. God gave us life, and God can take the life. So, because of sin that entered into the world, came with it death. So with death then, we're faced with two certainties. Not death and taxes this time. But what are those two certainties? Heaven and hell. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then in Romans chapter 15, verses 12 through 22, it reads, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead." And you got to think back here at the time that Paul is writing this to the Corinthians. You had two groups within the Jewish religion that were pretty powerful groups, and that was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees says there were no resurrection of the dead. They were totally against that. People didn't rise from the dead. And the Pharisees believed in a resurrection of the dead. So these people that Paul's talking to here are this group, I suppose, that didn't really believe in a resurrection of the dead. But he says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ perish. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And John 6:40 says, And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is telling us here what he's got prepared for us. But I talked about two certainties that death brings. And you see, we have to choose of those two certainties. For those who do not choose life in Jesus Christ, at death, only the body, which is made of the dust of the ground. The Bible says this, Genesis 2:7, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Again, I remind you that Genesis 2:7 said, And man became a living soul. So what does death bring us, and what are those choices? You see, we have the choice of choosing to serve Jesus Christ, accept the atoning work that he purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, that he gave his life for as the sacrificial lamb, that we could have forgiveness of our sin. And we accept that into our life, and we become a part of the family of God. And that choice then is that we have decided that we will become a part of the family of God, and that we are going to live for God, and we're going to bask in his presence for all eternity. That's the one choice, if you choose Jesus Christ. But the other choice is to not choose Jesus Christ. The other choice is to continue in your sin. And then it brings with that an eternal separation from God. To spend an eternity in a place that was never created for mankind. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God did not prepare that place of everlasting fire, hell, for man. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. That's what his word says. It was prepared for Satan and his followers, those angels. God intended for man to forever dwell in God's presence. But man then, because he listened to what the voice of Satan had to say through the serpent and partake of that fruit that God told them not to partake of, and sin came into the world, made that decision now that you have to decide. Are you going to follow God? Or are you not going to follow God? You see, the thing is, you don't have to make a conscious choice to follow Satan. Don't have to. You're born in sin. That choice is already made. You say, that's pretty rash. That's what the word says. You're born in sin. You have to make a conscious choice to follow God. But he made it easy. He didn't say that you've got to go out and do this and do that and do all of these works, or you've got to have money and be able to buy it. I know there are some that still seem to think that you can do certain works and that will get you salvation. You can spend so much money and that will get you salvation. That's not what the word ever said. It just said simply that you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You accept what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, and salvation can be yours. So God made it possible for us to spend eternity with him. But if you choose not to, then the certainty is that you will spend eternity separated from God in the presence of the devil and his angels and the place that was created for them. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If your name is not written in the book of life, that choice that you have to make to follow Jesus Christ gets your name in the book of life. If it's not there, the only other option is the lake of fire. Life is full of choices. Every day we have to make choices. The alarm goes off in the morning. What do? Do you get up, turn the alarm off, get ready for work or school or whatever you're going to do that day? Do you hit the snooze button? And as I say many times, 10 more minutes. Just 10 more minutes. All the while knowing that that snooze button only goes at 9-minute intervals, you know. And I don't know why I say 10 minutes. Just give me 10 more minutes. Sometimes that snooze button goes off again and I say, 10 more. But the point comes, I know I got to get up. Or some folks may just say, I hit that clock and throw it on the floor or whatever and I'm staying here. You know, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to school today. I saw a new clock that came out on the market recently, and when the alarm goes off, the clock jumps down off the table or where it's at, and you have to chase it down to turn it off. And I know for some people that was probably a very good invention. But we have choices. You get up, there's things you have to choose what you're going to do as you're getting ready to go to work or school or whatever. Throughout the day, you're faced with choices. Life is full of choices. Look back in your life and think about some of the choices you've made. And if we stop to think about it, we've made some pretty good choices. And in some cases, we've probably made some pretty lousy choices too at certain times in our life. We have done some things that we wish we had never done. Choices. But you see, with all of these choices, there are really only three certainties, and taxes is not one of them. Three certainties. They are death, and then followed by that, they're heaven or hell. But you see, with them coming in that order, the interesting part is we've got to make the choice between heaven and hell before death comes upon us. It's not a choice that once we die we get to make. And some people like to really, you know, push the envelope. Well, I'll get right with God just in the seconds before I die. But you know what? You have no guarantee that you're going to get the opportunity to make that choice in the moments just before you die. It may come upon you instantly where you have no even inkling that it's going to happen. So we have to make the latter two choices before we face death. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 is Joshua addressing the people as he is getting ready to face death. And he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We must make the choice to where we spend eternity before we face that certainty of death. We have a choice, two places. Man was created to be an eternal being. Death only puts this temple of clay back to the dust from which it came. Go to a funeral, and many times as the body is being lowered into the grave, or just before it's lowered into the grave, the person officiating will recite the words, "Ashes to ashes and dust to dust," because you're going back where you came. But that's only the physical part. Soul, the spirit go on, they're eternal. And that's what's going to spend eternity, either basking in the presence of God or an eternity completely separated from God where there is no hope. We have to make that choice. The Bible tells us that today is the day to make that choice. It says today is the day of salvation. And for those that are listening to me today, I ask you, have you made your choice? Have you made your choice? And maybe some are thinking, well, I've lived right. You know, I've lived a good life. Living right does not get you into heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way into heaven. There are going to be some good people that someday wake up and find themselves in hell. Why? Because they did not accept Jesus Christ into their heart. There are certainties, and there are choices. And we have to make a choice as to which of those certainties we will face. And Father, today, as many listen to this message, I pray, Father, that you would speak to hearts of people. There are some that have to make these choices, some that need to get this choice made as to where they will spend their eternity. And Father, there may be some that will listen to this either by CD or over the internet that may not have much longer before they face that certainty of death. And I just pray, Father, that as you speak to their hearts today, Father, that they would make that choice to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I know the enemy, Satan, may try to tell them, well, you know, you've lived all this time and you've never lived for God, or some other reason that would cause them to say, it's too late. But your word tells us it's not too late, that today is the day of salvation. And help them today to make that choice, Father, to serve Jesus Christ, to accept him into their heart. And I thank you for what you're going to do in those lives, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.